Sure. So yeah, Justin came to our studio. He's wearing a motion capture suit, which is technology that basically captures his movements and translates them into animations in real time. So when he dances, his avatar dances. And that's what I was talking about in my previous point. Like, a lot of people didn't even realize that it was live. Like, they just thought it was a recording. And so, but even still, we're like, wait, what? Like, real-time animation is possible? Like, people really don't know. And so that's why ultimately this job's really fun, because you get to kind of like be on the bleeding edge.
Hey, what's going on? I hope you are well and are having a good week as always. So on this week's episode of the Welcome to the Metaverse podcast, we are chatting about the future of virtual entertainment and music with the founder and CEO of Wave, Adam Arrigo. Now, Wave have worked with some of the biggest artists on the planet, including Justin Bieber, The Weeknd, John Legend, Teflon Sega, and more, to create these live immersive experiences with artists as avatars. Now, during these shows, fans can connect directly with them in real time, adding a layer of interaction that I've never seen before in a virtual setting like this. It's pretty phenomenal to watch, and I've linked the video in the show notes, which is definitely worth checking out to give you a sense of what they're doing over at Wave. It's unlike anything I've seen, and one of the best metaverse experiences out there to date, for sure. We chat to Adam all about what it's like breaking new ground in this space, working with these huge international superstars, the future of music and touring, VR, and more. His insight into the metaverse and where this is all going is invaluable. So much good stuff in this episode, so thank you very much, Adam, for coming on. This podcast is sponsored by the brilliant EveryRealm, who are a leader in metaverse innovation, investment, and NFTs. They are among the largest owners of digital real estate NFTs in Decentraland, The Sandbox, and Axie Infinity, to name just a few. They also recently announced their upcoming immersive ASMR experience in the metaverse called Soundlands, which you can be the first to sign up before it launches in full by heading to asmrsoundlands.com. And make sure you follow it on Twitter at EveryRealm, where you'll find a link to their Discord, or head over to everyrealm.com to check out what else they are up to, including their pop-up DJ parties in the metaverse too. I'll put all those links in the show notes along with my socials as well, so you can easily click through. And finally, as always, nothing in this podcast is financial or investment advice. Always do your own research. With that said, let's get into this week's episode. Adam, really great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So on this episode, we're going to chat about virtual gigs and virtual entertainment in the metaverse, which kind of blends live music with video game technology and social media as well, at Wave, where you're CEO, which is, it sounds like a very exciting place to be, for sure. And there's been lots of awesome stuff that's been happening. So before we get stuck in, maybe you could just explain to people what you're doing at Wave, and these sort of amazing experiences that you're putting out. Feels like a whole new kind of class of entertainment with some of the best talent in the world.
It really is the future. So our company, we're called Wave. We used to be based in LA, but now we're a distributed team since we went totally virtual over the pandemic. We've been around since 2016. We started as a VR company, or virtual reality, and then we expanded into distributing our virtual shows into video games and live streaming platforms, so that more people could access them, you know, until the day where everyone is just living all of their life in the metaverse, in VR. You know, so we're the global leader in what we call virtual entertainment, and a lot of people describe what we do as a virtual concert, but we don't even like to use that term, just because we're not trying to recreate or replicate a concert in these sort of 3D virtual spaces. We're really trying to develop a new art form that lets musicians and different types of entertainers connect live in real time with their fans, and create a different type of experience that you actually couldn't accomplish in physical reality.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I guess that's kind of, when I've spoken to some people about this initially, I'm sure you've had this as well, maybe that's their kind of first reaction, is an assumption that you're trying to kind of replace live music in a physical form, which obviously isn't the case. But yeah, as you say, kind of create this new art form, this whole new experience for fans, and avenue for artists to perform kind of virtually at scale as well, which is really interesting. Maybe you could just explain to people who might think that initially, how this kind of virtual experience, which is amazing, and I encourage people to go and check out what is online as well from the shows you've done. I'll definitely link in the show notes. But how is this kind of new art form beneficial to, you know, both to kind of fans, artists, and the music industry in general? I'd be interested just to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I'm a musician myself. You could probably see the background of my video. I have a bunch of instruments. And, you know, we musicians are always looking for different ways to connect with our fans, express ourselves, distribute our music. I've been in the gaming industry for like 15 years and in the technology industry. I love how technology can enable new forms of content, like, you know, with electronic music, technology completely transformed the options that you have creatively to even build new types of content or new types of genres. And then like platforms like Spotify and SoundCloud that let musicians distribute it directly to their fans. Or even, I mean, I'm sitting right now in my music studio in front of all of these interfaces and microphones, and I have a fully digital studio. So back in the day when my band was trying to make it big, you had to go to a real studio to even cut your record. And so like, from creating to distributing to monetizing music, like technology is always, we're always finding new ways to kind of move the conversation forward, which is awesome for musicians because it means you are reliant less on some third party or some other platform that's like sitting between you and ultimately connecting with the people that are going to pay you money. So I really see the metaverse and these XR technologies as a type of technology that's going to transform that whole pipeline, like from the way music is created and performed to the way it's distributed to the way fans experience it. I mean, our first product that we released was a VR platform that let DJs sort of build these 3D worlds in VR and then throw these sort of crazy DJ sets directly to rooms of like, you know, hundreds or thousands of avatars that they could just find through the metaverse. In this last couple of years of our company, we've been working with bigger and bigger artists outside of VR and kind of projecting them into gaming platforms and 2D platforms like Twitch and YouTube to sort of show people like, okay, like what is different about a virtual show? And what are the things that it does that a real concert can do and vice versa? Like, what are the things that like real concerts do that a virtual concert can't do well? And then we don't really focus on those. So, I mean, for example, our last big show was with Justin Bieber, where he was performing live as an avatar from our studio in Los Angeles. And there were moments in the performance where he would like ask the crowd to send him gifts or send him energy. And like people would sort of click on these buttons and send him like sort of energy that helped him lift, like elevate himself and like transform the world around him. He could call audience members on stage to sort of dance with him in these certain moments where, you know, things that are harder to do in at a real show. Like at a real show, maybe, you know, Bruce Springsteen grabs one fan per show and brings them on stage. But like there are a lot of different ways that now audiences can interact when you're in a purely digital format. Plus the show itself can be a lot more dreamlike and have crazy visuals. But it really is more about the way that like artists can interact live with the audience and connect in ways that they couldn't in a real show.
Yeah, it's you put it really well there, because I watched that show and it's quite hard to describe what's happening, but it's you know, very different from a live stream in the sense that you'd watch an artist, you know, that would be it. You'd see the performance, and that's kind of cool, because if you couldn't make it to the physical show, that's one thing, and you still want to be able to, you know, watch them and hear them perform live. But it's another dimension of that completely. It's not just a live stream. It's this participation where, like you say, like fans can be brought to interact. And you're talking about this amazing moment where Justin asks people to charge him up as this kind of, you know, computer game character, and people are smashing the button. You can see all the interaction going up, and then he kind of transcends into this sort of new being, and a whole environment changes into this new world, and which matches the track. And this, yeah, it's like it's so much more, such a deeper level than a live stream, right? So,
and that's the dumbed down version, honestly. Like, the one thing I've learned over from being an entrepreneur in the space for 6 years is when you're too far into the future, it doesn't really help anyone, because you have to be sort of right on the cusp of what audiences are ready for, showing them sort of a vision into where what's coming. But if it's too different or too abstract, people don't really, it doesn't resonate. So like when we started as a company, like if you had attended some of our early VR shows, they were so different from a concert and so much less accessible than that Bieber show was, but they were crazy. Like we did a show with the Glitch Mob where the entire concert was, you're basically, it's in VR and you're like flying down a tunnel made of fractals. And at some point your body melts into these different space globules, and you meet other people online while you're flying through this vortex, and you can like interact with them in different ways. And then it's like an extremely like surreal experience. But like you can't just take a music fan and drop them into one of these things, because it would be like dropping someone into a drug trip. So over the years, we've kind of taken our vision and a lot of the technology we've built and thought about like, okay, like what is the present group of consumers ready for? Because still virtual reality is a distant vision. Like there are a lot of problems from a user experience perspective and just a marketing perspective to get people in there. So like, I think what the Bieber show represented, and we did another big show the weekend before that, which is it's like our attempt to sort of meet consumers where they currently are. And the pandemic definitely sort of pulled the future forward a couple clicks and showed people like, okay, what is the value proposition of a virtual experience just like to start with? And then like all the details of stuff we do where it comes to like, all right, how do musicians create these worlds? Like how do audiences access them? Like those are all the cascading details that like we've already actually figured out, but like we're just kind of waiting for the world to catch up.
Yeah, I love that. I'm assuming this long-term plan that you are thinking deeply about, but that's cool to hear it like that, because that's definitely very true, isn't it? And I think in the past there's been some kind of, not great examples of what VR can do that people have experienced first, and then maybe it's kind of sort of pushed them away for a few years and it's taken them a little while to come back. And I was seeing kind of that with Oculus where it is breaking through again, but yeah, it feels like that moment is getting closer. But it's cool to hear all that stuff is possible. I'll maybe talk a little bit more about that in a second, but I was going to ask more about the Bieber show specifically, and we'll talk about Teflon Sega and some other ones in a minute as well. But could you maybe walk us through what was happening during that Justin Bieber show for him kind of in the studio, how he is performing live? I'm assuming it's motion captured into a game engine, and there's these incredible moments with fans where they can interact virtually, but then also there was the room where you actually saw the fans' faces appearing in the room and Justin as a avatar could interact with them. So I'd love to hear just maybe how it kind of works, as much as you're able to share from that side would be cool.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, Justin came to our studio. He's wearing a motion capture suit, which is technology that basically captures his movements and translates them into animations in real time. So when he dances, his avatar dances. We use computer vision, like sort of camera technology, to track his facial expressions in real time too. So when he smiles, his avatar smiles. And he basically did that whole performance live. He sang and dance, like, and that's what I was talking about in my previous point. Like a lot of people didn't even realize that it was live. Like they just thought it was a recording. And so we try to show like sort of a picture in picture in the broadcast, so you can see him in the studio, and he will call out individual audience members and be like, hey, I see you, like so-and-so, like Metaverse Luke 100. But even still, we're like, wait, what? Like real-time animation is possible? Like people really don't know. And so that's why ultimately this job is really fun, because you get to kind of like be on the bleeding edge. And so about the audience interactions, like people could send him energy or like vote on things that happened, or like see their comments sort of in the world in real time. We have a feature where people can turn on their webcam and actually see sort of like a 2D image or a hologram of themselves projected into the world in real time. So there are moments between the songs where Justin could see a bunch of his fans who were at their, homes, just sort of like dancing or like wearing Justin Bieber merch or Drew merch. And then he got to call them out individually, just like, you would if you saw someone in the front row of a show. You can kind of interact with, the audience at a real concert, but it's hard because there's this kind of giant stadium of people. And so our technology lets fans sort of do certain things at certain times so that like we can foster a deeper real-time connection between the artists and fans. So it's kind of like, even just the idea of voting, it's like, okay, like where should the show go next? Like, should it go to Mars, Jupiter, or Venus? Like you can put that up to a vote and actually let the fans participate in a way that you can't really do it at a real show.
That's really interesting to hear how that kind of works, and so many options of that kind of fan interaction and them having some sort of control and being part of it, maybe more than a physical show, or at least a different version of that, which is cool. Am I right thinking Justin Bieber and Scooter Braun are investors as well? Is kind of cool, is that right?
They are, yes.
How did that kind of come about initially?
Well, we actually have a number of celebrity investors. I think just by nature of what we do, kind of being pretty forward thinking and kind of in the spotlight, some of our celebrity investors invested before the pandemic. A lot of them did after the pandemic when people started hearing about our company for the first time. And I think when the pandemic hit and concerts were canceled, even the word virtual, which is something that was obviously part of our lexicon because it's what our company does, seemed to be adopted by the broader, market and media. And so we just got a lot of attention. We're in all of these like articles and Rolling Stone and stuff. We had a lot of different artists and types of people reaching out to us to be involved in the company, either because they wanted to perform or they wanted to invest, or both in Justin and Scooter's case. And it's been great to work with that level of talent. Before the pandemic, we worked with a lot of big artists like Imogen Heap and Toki Monsta, but it definitely helped us sort of like explain to musicians what our value was after the pandemic. And it almost seemed like they were pitching us compared to us pitching them because, you know, all concerts were canceled for this 2-year period. So we got to work with The Weeknd and John Legend and Galantis and Bieber. And it was a total dream come true. And now we're still working with some pretty exciting talent this year, but we can't announce it yet.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, there's some huge names there. So very exciting for sure. I want to talk about Teflon Sega as well, because we've mentioned him on the show before. For anyone who doesn't know, a singer, but a virtual influencer to a degree, a virtual creation that has a whole kind of mini story online. I'm convinced he's about to become one of the biggest pop stars in the world, and one that is, you know, metaverse first as well. So yeah, you know, doesn't exist in physical form at all. And his Wave show was unreal. There was this, you know, limitless creativity, all these amazing environments that we've kind of talked about already. He even rode a woolly mammoth at one point, and there was a dragon chasing him and all this stuff. How are you thinking about the sort of coming wave, so to speak, of virtual influencers and artists? And do you agree that they're about to explode? And sort of how far do you think we are from that whole movement sort of catching on?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, because Teflon Sega is probably my favorite show that we've done. Not just because like his music's amazing, which it is, and the show itself is beautiful. I just think that like what he represents is the future of like music IP, particularly in sort of like these metaversal spaces. So Teflon is an anonymous artist. So he's an avatar. He publishes his music through this avatar. No one knows his true identity. And he uses the avatar to create this kind of alter ego for himself, named Teflon Sega, who has his own narrative and his own universe and his own music. And so he is, I guess, like a metaverse native, you could call it, artist that can only exist in these 3D spaces. He can only play shows in platforms like Wave. And I mean, this concept he didn't invent it. Like, it's been popular in Japan for like 20 years, starting with Hatsune Miku, who's a virtual performer who still sells out her tours when she tours globally. There's a whole trend in Japan called VTubers, which stands for virtual YouTubers. These are people or companies that have created these talent or this IP. They're avatars, normally sort of in like a Japanese anime aesthetic, that create content either for like live concerts or for just YouTube content where they get to talk to their fans. And the industry is making like hundreds of millions of dollars in Japan. It's growing significantly, and it's growing in the US too. There are now platforms like virtual talent agencies in the US that are like signing VTuber talent and trying to like make deals with all kinds of different companies, like even sign them up for record deals or it's everything. It's such a fascinating like movement. But the thing that is fundamental and at its core is that like being an avatar lets you be whoever you want to be if you're an artist, you know? And so in the previous version, or I guess the current version of talent and IP, like we have this avatar that we're sitting in right now, like, and we were born with a certain, you know, gender or like constitution, and or we're at a point in our lives where we're a certain age, and maybe like we can't reach a certain market because we're not young enough or we're not skinny enough or whatever. But there's a lot of talent out there that deserves to be heard and seen. So I love the idea that like, all right, let's just like control for that one variable for a second. Just let people be people. And I think the future of talent is going to be like, oh, obviously it's going to be avatar based because we're all going to be in the metaverse. But like the next, you know, Katy Perry or the next like Lil Nas X or Billie Eilish could be some 80-year-old dude in a nursing home. Like, you know, and you'd have no idea. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, it opens up a whole nother world of possibilities, doesn't it? And probably brings out talent and creativity from people who might not have done it themselves, having to be their own, you know, like put their own appearance out there if they're not comfortable and all those things. And it's, yeah, it kind of opens up this whole other avenue, which I think will get really, really interesting.
Yeah, people who don't feel comfortable, exactly. I mean, it's really hard to be a musician, especially when you have to go on tour and interact. Like, there are a lot of introverts like me who just like it doesn't feel natural to them. But putting on, embodying an avatar, like in performing from their house, for example, like allows them to play for millions of people without that pressure. And the same goes for the audience side. Like, a lot of people don't go to events or go to clubs because they just don't feel cool enough, or they have social anxiety or fear of large crowds. But I think like a lot of people miss that part of this technology. Like, if you spend a lot of time in platforms like VRChat, like it's a lot of introverted people that they wouldn't go to concerts anyway, like, or they would, but they wouldn't feel comfortable. So a lot of people are like, what? Why would you create a virtual concert? Like, I just went to Coachella last weekend. Like, why are you trying to rip me out of Coachella and like stick a VR headset on my face? And it's like, that's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah, no, and yeah, I think that's so true that, yeah, we've got the one option at the minute of putting ourselves out there and going to, like I say, these festivals and these spaces where you have to physically be there. And it's, you know, partly why gaming is a huge industry on its own, is it's an escape and it's something different. And it's something that you don't have to, you know, physically be there for yourself and bring your own identity. So I think, yeah, that's a cool point to bring up. We'll talk about, well, I'd love to talk about digital merch later on as well. FN Mecca is another one we've talked about on the show, and a rapper who I wonder would ever do a wave performance. I'm sure he would, but yeah, I'd love to talk about him maybe later as well. But I wanted to ask as well, with the metaverse more broadly, you know, like a major key part of what is going to be successful and what people think is the experiences within this kind of, you know, 3D internet, wave being a great example of that, and feels, you know, far ahead in some ways. These kind of rich immersive live experiences, you know, are some of the best that exist in the metaverse, no doubt, at the minute. So, you know, that in itself is really cool. But at the moment, Wave lives on its own platform, its own site. Do you see it kind of integrating into other virtual worlds in the future? Will you maybe have portals in places like Decentraland and the Sandbox? Is that something you're thinking about? Or yeah, I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've thrown concerts on other platforms like Roblox, and we came to the conclusion that in order to build the experience that we wanted to build, just from a UX and like a tech standpoint, that we had to just build our own space and our own tool set, just because we're focused purely on the music use case right now. And a lot of those platforms are pretty big, and like they can't do like live streaming content, for example. But I think the way that the metaverse, quote unquote, is going to develop is that it's not going to be one giant space like it is portrayed in the movie Ready Player One. Like, it's going to be a constellation of a lot of adjacent spaces that will probably be interoperable using some Web3 protocol that will allow you to at least take the data from one platform to another. I'm not sure you'll ever be able to take virtual goods, as you mentioned, in like completely in a one-to-one way from Wave to Sandbox, because Sandbox is rendered in a completely different way. But I think, like, you know, we want to be the entertainment hub of the metaverse, like the sort of stadium in like the center of the space, or really like one of the first places that people come through when they want to participate in this type of experience. Like, we think music is kind of like the tip of the spear, where, you know, we just had millions of Justin Bieber fans come in to experience a virtual Bieber concert. A lot of them have no idea like what the metaverse is, or like a lot of them don't play games or have never tried a VR experience. So I think like you're gonna see a lot of different like mini metaverses. And there will always be the big ones that have like the most funding, but I think it's going to be like the next version of the web.
Mm. And to your point earlier, like, I love that, as you say, fans come in and yeah, they don't know anything about the metaverse or NFTs, and actually those moments that will win will probably be the, or the experiences that will win will be the ones that can do that without you having to understand all that stuff, right? Like, it's a small subset of people who are super into this stuff, and yes, it will go mainstream in some form, but probably at the point where people, you know, don't know that they're holding an NFT necessarily. It's just enabling what they want to do. So yeah, that's cool to hear for sure. I wanted to ask as well how you view the sort of crossover with the physical world in the future of this kind of entertainment as well, because it seems maybe likely that almost, you know, every artist in the future will do both physical tours and then maybe virtual shows and virtual tours, as we're seeing, and selling digital merch as NFTs kind of makes sense as well. But then at physical gigs, as AR begins to come in, and maybe we're a little way off that being you know, glasses and fully working to the point where it'll be awesome, but do you think AR is going to play a role in kind of physical gigs, and these two worlds will merge to some degree, is kind of my question.
Yeah, definitely. I think that AR and VR are basically almost the same technology, and that the headsets that will be used predominantly will kind of fade seamlessly between both modes. And there will be something like, you know, in Zuckerberg's last keynote he did, where he shows like your friends can come with you to a concert, and like in your, where they can be there wherever you are, and vice versa. I think that will happen. Like, the power of the metaverse is the fact that like you can feel presence with anyone at any time, wherever you are. As it relates to concerts, I think that space is going to change significantly over the next like 10 and 20 or 20 years. And that you'll see like the idea of a concert happening in a singular physical location is going to be gone entirely. Like, every concert will be simulcast into a variety of different spaces. And actually, like, the touring model is going to change too, because there's going to be no reason to keep going from city to city to city as an artist playing smaller groups of crowds when you can hit your whole audience in like sort of one or two fell swoops. But the actual physical location of the show will feel more like a VIP experience for fans, that they know that that concert is being broadcast into a bunch of different places, both virtual and physical, by the way. Like, I mean, you can imagine Ed Sheeran playing a show in, you know, London, like, and that maybe it's a 1,000-person venue for his super fans or high-level NFT holders, but he'll be able to sell that show to like hundreds of other venues that could take place, like either in a traditional venue, or it could be a people in a field in Golden Gate Park, like with AR headsets watching the show, and concerts will be sellable to like virtual promoters that will take the content like and then transpose it into whatever format they are working with. Either like in the field example, like a promoter is going to sell a sort of like a holographic concert, or a platform like Wave would buy the exclusive virtual rights to host it in our virtual space. But I think the bigger audience is going to be in a virtual world, not a physical venue, or at least not the primary physical venue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's exciting for artists as well, where, you know, we've seen in various ways them be squeezed by the music industry. People would argue and having to find new ways, and touring being the number one way they make money. And this feels like a way that they can really scale up and get rewarded for their art in a new form. So I think that's cool. I'd not thought about it in that way. So really interesting. And for pop artists particularly, active fans on social media have always been a crucial part of that artist's success. We saw it the first time around with Web2 and, you know, obviously Twitter and Instagram and One Direction and Bieber and Shawn Mendes all sort of capturing this wave of fans being able to interact that directly for the first time ever. We mentioned kind of NFTs in that role. How do you think NFTs will sort of interact with fans? It feels for the first time ever, fans will potentially be able to kind of share some of the upside of the value of an artist's success rather than just support them on social media, which is amazing. Yeah, how do you think about kind of NFTs playing into fandoms and fans being able to kind of almost invest in their artists?
Yeah, I love that idea that fans can participate in the upside of an artist's popularity in the same way that currently a label would, if they believe in, you know, an artist from the beginning. I think NFTs are a really powerful community tool. That for me, that's like the number one function of them currently and into like the sort of like medium term future, is like the idea that like people can all invest in something and share in the win if it happens. You see this a lot in music culture right now, where like there's that cliche of like, I like their old stuff, because like you were a fan of Dave Matthews Band in the early days before they got signed to a major label, and like and people feel like all butthurt when they like sell out, quote unquote. But artists are just trying to like make it up the chain so that they can actually make a living doing music. And even if you get signed to a major label, you're not necessarily making a good living. Like the system's pretty broken. And even the major labels would agree if you talk to people who work there. So it's like, how can technology kind of level the playing field and just enable more artists to do their thing? Like over the pandemic, one of the things that concerned me the most in the music industry was just the fact that people were like, well, if I can't make money touring, like I can't make music. Like you just took away my number one revenue stream. So like, you know, Teflon Sega, for example, like back to the Avatar artist, actually makes his living selling NFTs. Like that's what supports his artistic career. So I think that's really exciting. And it's almost more like a Kickstarter or a crowdfunding model that I think is awesome. But I don't know. The NFTs, like it's such a big concept and such a big technology and philosophy. Like no one can really tell you where it's going to go. Like it's something big is going to happen with Web3 over the next like 10 years. And even like in a shorter time frame, I think it's moving really, really fast. There's something like if you pull back the curtain, you're like, oh, okay, like this is the future of something. But you know, if someone tells you exactly what's going to happen, like I wouldn't trust them. I definitely wouldn't trust me.
Yeah, that's a good point to say. I don't think anyone knows exactly where it is or where it's going, but the idea of digital property rights on the internet is definitely a big idea, isn't it? But and it's experimentation at the minute, isn't it? We've seen great stuff happen very quickly, and then it's kind of iterating as we go. But that's cool. I think it feels like a positive move that NFTs can enable stuff for artists and for the music industry in general.
Yeah, I think like, I don't know, feel free to disagree with me, but like any technology traditionally that has cut out the middleman and enabled like a more direct access between like creators and consumers, or simplified like sort of a convoluted business process where there was like this intermediary that was, their model was to obfuscate the data so that like they could profit. Like for example, a car dealership has traditionally been disrupted by technology, and that technology has usually been like a transformative element. Like that's the big idea behind like decentralization, which is like philosophically like, yes, like, but then in practice, like who knows what humans are going to do with this thing.
Yeah. time will tell for sure. But yeah, an exciting time to be part of it, and yeah, and good time to be building in here for sure. Looking to the future a little bit, there's obviously so much excitement in this space in general, for people wanting to build in the metaverse, and it's a cool time to be doing that. What would be your advice, kind of what's your biggest learning from founding Wave?
Yeah, that's a big question. Well, when we founded the company, this is like back when like there were hardly any VR experiences. Like, so it was like 6 years ago. So we've been doing this for a long time. And during, it was 2016 when we founded the company, like we were in this wave of VR hype. Like you would go to these conferences and people were like, VR is the future of X, Y, and Z, and it's going to change everything. Like it's going to make everything better. Like we'll all be living in the Matrix and in the metaverse. And like, I definitely got caught up a little bit in that hoopla of like, whoa, like this is it, like in the next 3 years everything's gonna change. And like the truth is, like that's not how like the future happens. Like technology, like disruption happens in like really weird unpredictable ways that like no one can really predict, and that's why it's such a nail biter. You're like, oh, what's gonna happen? I mean, I could have never predicted people are gonna be spending millions of dollars on JPEGs of apes. Like what the fuck, like humans are just weird. And so I learned that, like, and I think we made some good calls in the early days where we're just like, okay, you know, we raised our seed round on this VR thesis, but we're gonna be like really conservative and question whether like the things we're hearing at these conferences or in the analyst predictions are real. And so like, let's just be really conservative and not spend any money basically, and stretch the runway and keep the lights on long enough to figure out what we're really building. And then when like the moment comes, you step on the gas. And like for us, I think the pandemic was that moment. And my advice to anyone that's joining this crazy party now, whether they bought their first NFT and they just quit their job and they got funded to start a Web3 startup, is like really, and especially in the Web3 space, which is like, there are a lot of shiny objects. You really need to make sure to separate the substance from the fluff and figure out like what is real and what is like not real or virtual or an illusion, because no one really knows what's happening. And I've seen so many other companies like rise and fall, trying to trade off some artificial hype. Like you really need to build something that has value, and execution is everything. So like, you know, I love what's happening in the NFT and Web3 space now. And like, you know, we're probably going to do something in that space as well. But I just want to make sure that when we do it, it is from a place of like, we're generating real value rather than like kind of chasing the dragon. Because something happens when you step into the spotlight and you start making big claims about the future, like people listen to you, and then a clock starts ticking. Like if it doesn't happen, then you get sort of like cast aside into the graveyard of all the other entrepreneurs that tried to ride that wave. And for us, it's really about like just slow and steady wins the race. And sometimes you have to really like be aggressive in moments that are calculated, but it has to, again, just go back to generating like real value for real customers at some point, you know? Mm.
Yeah, that's good wisdom. And I think we're seeing the first kind of version of that now, that there was so much hype and with the Facebook Meta news and it all blew up. And yeah, like you say, like lots of stuff got funded very quickly. And now it's been, you know, whatever, 6-9 months kind of on, and people are like, oh, where's that? Where is that value? And you're seeing projects kind of begin to either fold or close, or having to kind of fulfill their promises. So sort of slow and steady is definitely the right way to do it, and kind of thought out. And yeah, that's really good advice. Coming to the end, but I always like to give people the opportunity to shout out anyone, whether it's on their team or a project or somebody that they think isn't getting enough attention in this world. I didn't know if you had anyone in mind that you think people could also check out that you are kind of rooting for.
Well, obviously I would shout out our team. I mean, I'm the one that gets to come up here and speak on the panels and do the interviews. But like, back to my point about execution and building real value, like the real talent of our company is just the team of engineers and artists, and like everyone who has contributed to building Wave is so much more talented than I am. And one of the things that like I will give myself credit for in the founder journey is just hiring great people, because that's the hardest thing when you have a startup, is like managing people, building a great team, and then actually executing and building something. Like when we did that Bieber show, it's so much more complicated than anyone even knows to pull something like that off. You see the end result, you're like, oh wow, like Justin's avatar is like moving seamlessly in real time at perfect frame rate, and like it's not crashing. It really is hard to build any type of technology, let alone technology that people haven't built before, because you have no one to copy. And so I just wanted to give a huge shout out to our team, because it is like very, very hard work. And then just anyone in the industry that's taken a similar journey, like it is really hard. It's easy to get up on a panel and say like, we're going to disrupt the future of blah, blah, blah. But like when you are on the bleeding edge, like it really bleeds. And it's like, sometimes it's like a dark, lonely journey that where you're like, you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, and most startups fail anyway, and you just keep picking out the pieces and building. So like, I'm just a fan of anyone who's like putting themselves out there in a space that is like relatively undefined, because it is not like glorious work.
Yeah. Well said as well. And yeah, absolutely. I cannot even begin to imagine what the tech setup is for a live Wave show on that scale. Putting together a podcast stressed me out enough in terms of that side of it. So
exactly right.
Yeah, fair play to you. Absolutely. All right. Well, and yeah, thank you so much. I mean, that's been an epic chat, and yeah, it's just awesome to kind of pick your brains and hear how you're thinking about this as someone who's so deeply involved and at the bleeding edge, as you say. And what can people kind of look forward to from Wave over the next sort of 6 months, and where can we send people to follow all the awesome work that you're doing?
Well, definitely follow us on socials. We're gonna have some new shows we're gonna announce soon, and then we're building a lot of new technology and experiences that will take it to the next level. So definitely stay tuned.
Awesome. All right, I'll pop all the links in the show notes. But Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right, man. See you in the metaverse.
So there we go. What did you make of that one with Adam Arrigo from Wave? As I say, definitely worth just checking out some of the videos. I've linked some in the show notes. You get a sense of what they're building, kind of this whole video game experience meets live performance meets social media. It's pretty cool. And it's great to hear Adam, who is obviously deeply involved in the space and seriously knows his stuff. So thank you so much, Adam, for coming on. Thank you to EveryRealm for sponsoring the show as well. Make sure you check them out at everyrealm.com, and do say hello on Twitter as well. Always love to hear from you. And thank you so much for your support. It's at Metaverse Luke. If you want to say hello, have a good one, and I will catch you next week.